your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Hello, and welcome back to the Equipped Man Podcast, the podcast where we explore what it means to be a man of God in the 21st century. I'm your host, Luke Wance. And once again, I am joined today with Devin, Derek, and Levi. Guys, how's it going?
Good.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is going well.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm like, I don't introduce you guys by, like, name. Like, Levi, say hi. Derek. Devin.
Yeah.
You don't know who this is.
Just going to randomly let
take
people
a guess.
Yes. Just randomness.
They won't know.
No, they won't.
That'd
Nobody
be great.
Knows. Only our families know.
My wife asks me all the time after she listens. She's like, is that you or is that someone else?
It's because you sound so much like your brother.
Yeah.
I can't tell.
Yeah.
Who is it?
Yeah. So how you guys doing? Good?
Yeah. 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 We just... Obviously, we talked a little bit about we just got back into town.
Yeah, Devin, I know you just came back from a funeral.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was my wife's uncle. I mean, it was good to be able to be there with her and kind of handle Uriah during certain moments where it was a little more...
yeah.
A little more, like, taxing on her, I guess. It's kind of funny because at the funeral... Uriah's 3, almost 4, so he doesn't really understand to be quiet. Like, there's moments to be quiet, and this dude the whole time, at one point he ends up going, Mama, what's in the box?
Oh my God.
And we thought we got him whispering quiet enough, but Christy's sister, who's like in the back holding another baby, could hear him. And so,
I mean, it's a good question.
Yeah, he's like, what's in the box? So Christy's trying to tell him, like, buddy, that's my uncle. And
yeah.
I want to see in the box.
Oh my God.
We open the box?
Oh, wow.
So we talked to a couple of people about it later. Yeah. And they're like, you know what? At a funeral, you kind of need those things, like the innocence of a child to make people laugh a little bit.
Yeah, you do.
It's a funny story for us, but there's moments where it's like, I wish it was somebody else's kid.
Yeah. Instead. Oh, yeah.
But
it's almost like that secondhand embarrassment. Like, oh, no, they're going to judge me.
Yeah. Nope. Yeah. So
and nobody cares.
No. It was good. It was good to see, you know, that side of the family. We don't get to see them as often. And it was good.
As, good.
Obviously, as good as a funeral can be, I guess it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I hear that. And then I know Levi and Derek, you guys were telling me that softball season is in full swing. You're looking forward to the heat of balmy 40-degree weather tomorrow night.
Yeah, wind chill in the 30s, maybe the 20s.
Yeah.
Derek's the most excited about that.
I know he is.
I just... checking on my weather app. Is it going to get any better?
The answer is no. I've got friends up north that they're calling for like an inch of snow tonight. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jeez, why?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a trace of snow.
Because it's Missouri.
We could have a trace of snow in the morning, actually.
Yeah. It's Missouri.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's springtime in Missouri.
Don't worry. It'll be 75 on Friday.
Yes, it will. Yeah. That's the crazy part.
Yeah. It's wonderful. Are we in the third winter right now?
I think so.
See those charts, you know? I think this is the third winter.
Like the fall spring, the third winter.
Yes. You know? It might have been the second fall spring and then the third winter is happening tonight. It might last only 12 hours, 24 hours. Then we'll be on with it.
Yeah. So I was going to, for this week, I was going to shift a little serious. I was going to talk about mental health. We're men, so specifically men's mental health. But I kind of wanted to talk about, because I know that we all have either dealt with something or we've been close to somebody that's dealt with something. So I kind of wanted to explore, you know, what could that look like? What could that sound like? What are some ways of getting through it, past it, over it? You know, and maybe what are some strategies going forward, you know, especially for any guys that are listening of, you know, well, crap, that's how I'm feeling. You know, what can I do about this? You know, if I feel like I'm in that dark place, the bottom of a barrel, where's that shed of light that I can find? You know, so, I mean, I'll kind of lead off. I know,
yeah.
A lot of mine, I've dealt with a lot of depression, anxiety, PTSD, partly from a lot of my military experience. I've had suicidal thoughts. I've even had suicidal thoughts in the middle of worship during church. In fact, I remember one really vividly before my wife and I got married. I almost left church in the middle of worship because I had a voice screaming in my head that I needed to go home and kill myself.
Wow.
Yeah. It was not a good time. But it was like I knew enough that I needed to stand, you know, to at least stand in church and at least not run away. I've suicidal ideation, a couple of attempts, just, you know, I sit here as a 47-year-old and I can say I never thought I was going to be this old. You know, I never thought I would make it this old, you know, either from self-destructive lifestyle or just a lot of the mental health struggles that I've been through and dealt with. And I've, you know, and so I've gotten different forms of help through the years for this. You know, I've done medication, I've done therapy. There have been a couple times I've reached out to friends. You know, I know what, maybe a few months ago, several months ago, I reached out to a group text. I think all three of you were in that. And I'm like, you know what? Yeah. I want to be vulnerable. I want to be upfront. I want to let you know that I'm not okay. And I don't know what it's going to look like. And I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But, So it's something that is, I wouldn't say constantly on my mind, but almost daily comes to mind of these are some of the struggles that I walk with, I deal with, you know, I'm not always as open about it because I know I was raised in that generation of suck it up and deal with it.
Right.
And I know that's not healthy. But, yeah. It's, you know, 40 years of training is hard to break sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, again, kind of the whole... I've almost trained myself that I know to a degree how much weight I can put on myself before I know it's too much. But I know I always lose that line sometimes. So,
yeah,
I know that's a whole lot for you guys and for our audience to just kind of, ha-ha!
Well, you can't spell mental without men, so
that's an appropriate that's good. Topic. I like that.
Yeah.
Did you heard that, or did you just think of that?
I just thought of that. I actually, right when you started talking, but I didn't want to do that yet. But, you know, to put a joke on it and then get serious again.
No, that's the way to do it.
So, Luke, to ask you about it, like, we talk about strategies. Like, how do you feel like you've learned to kind of get to that point where you know what your limit is?
Unfortunately, it's a lot of trial and error. You know, it's almost like swinging the pendulum back and forth over the years, and just it's like over the years, it's gotten less and less of a pendulum swing. You know, but it's also having people around me that, for lack of a better word, bug me in a good way of, you know, hey, how you doing? I'm okay. No, no, really. How you doing?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
No, I know that look on your face, Luke. I know you're zoning out for a reason. Why are you? You know, and so, you know, it's you guys. It's other friends that I've got. It's, you know, my wife knowing, hey, I know what you've dealt with in the past. I know what you've told me in the past. But it's also going out to my garage and doing woodworking because, you know, that's something that I can focus on that, you know, Derek, I think it was one of when you and I were just talking, and it's, you know, that men need that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And woodworking helps me find that purpose because it helps me do something with my hands. So it gives me something to focus on because I know a lot of times when I'm struggling with my mental health, more times than not, it's because I will spiral out of control in my own head because I have no outlet, you know, or it's, you know, I'm concerned because, well, okay, so I've got to go to work. I'm a dad. I'm a husband. I want to be a woodworker. I want to go to the gym. I want to do better at church. And I've got this commitment and that responsibility. And trying to balance all of those things and all of those topics and all of those tasks, I almost feel like, well, if I spend time with my kids, then I'm not spending time with my wife. And or if I spend time with at the gym, I'm not spending time woodworking. And so it's, I almost get that almost like analysis paralysis or just that I freeze because I don't want to, you know, give one responsibility or one person less of my time. So instead of finding a healthy way of dividing my time and task management, I just freeze and then I give nobody any time and I accomplish nothing.
Yeah.
Right.
And then I just do. And I'm like, and I'm a, yep. And now I'm a worthless husband and human being because I accomplished nothing and I sat like a log on the couch scrolling through my phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to find some kind of escape or or break, even just like I just need a break from all this thinking.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's, and then of course, because you found that break, you didn't accomplish anything else, so now you feel even worse that you've now wasted another hour in your life, and then you spiral of, man, I could have spent time with this. I just wasted an hour on my phone, and I could have been reading a book. I could have been with my son, with my wife, out in the shop, and, you know.
Do you find when you do end up, say it's woodworking, yeah, when you do that, do you find yourself able to enjoy that or be in that moment the whole time? Or are you then thinking about, like, actively thinking how this is now stealing from something else? And so then your focus is off some.
I've actually found that when I am, like, in the shop, I've found that actually lightens my mental health and actually frees me up. So that way, when I do spend time with my wife, with my kids on other tasks, it actually allows me to be more focused because it's like, okay, I accomplished this task or this block of time over here. So now I'm fully engaged over on this other task or this other person. And so, therefore, I'm more in the moment and I'm more engaged. And, you know, even Dina will tell you that when I'm going and accomplishing things, even though my time is more split or less devoted on one or the other, I am more engaged and I am more, I'm lighter.
Yeah.
I'm actually in a better mental health state because I've gone and accomplished and done in these other areas.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just curious because I know Levi and I, we've talked about this a little bit, and it wasn't necessarily in regards to, like, mental health, but it was being at a spot where just in each of our own lives separately, like, spending time with our kids, we almost couldn't focus on that completely because we're also thinking about all these other things that need to happen, or that in our head, like, well, this needs to get done.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, spending time with our kids is needed,
yes.
necessary,
yes.
and very valuable, but it doesn't feel the same always as going and, hey, I've got a project done and completed, because it was more of a task. And this relationship with our kids is obviously very much long term, whereas this other thing may be, hey, I have 30 minutes to an hour and I do this and it's done.
Yeah.
So it's got that instant gratification feeling of accomplishment. But we've talked about that a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just a restlessness. And I don't even know if I would have explained it as restlessness when it was happening. But then kind of coming out on the other side, gaining some freedom in certain areas in my life, I've just found that, you know, the restlessness is gone and I'm more enjoying a moment or a thing and not in a rush to get to something else, or not bothered by not doing something else. And part of the, you know, recently some of the freedoms I've been finding specifically in that restlessness kind of came through from other areas, but part of it was just the accepting the reality that I can't do it.
Yeah.
That there's not going to be a routine that I find that will cause the restlessness to go away. There's not like some math formula or fix that makes that magically disappear. It has to be something else.
Right.
And I just got real honest with God and was like, I can't do it. And I even quit doing certain things I knew were good and right things, because I wanted to let him, and I'm not saying like this is some golden key, but you know, maybe somebody can take something from this out there, but like I had to let God really lead me. And it wasn't just me going, oh, I should be this way, or I should be doing these things, so I'm going to do these things and try to do them better. Or, you know, I could come up with 50 different things I need to fix in my life, right? I could sit down and write them all out. But what's the one I need to work on? And so allowing God the space to lead me to the answer on something.
Yeah.
And leaving it there until he gives an answer. And so I think maybe that's coming off topic a little bit, but just, yeah, I can relate to restlessness.
Yeah.
And I'm still walking through some of that, and there are good days and there are bad days.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's easy when we look at somebody else who's dealing with something we don't deal with, and vice versa, it's easy to think or see a solution. But like when that's like that person's like life battle in a way, or yeah. something they've dealt with since they were 9 years old or whatever it is, yeah. right? Like actively dealt with since they can remember. It's not something you can just think your way out of, or just do an answer, even a right answer for 2 days and now you're okay. Like it's a daily thing. And so I mean, I have ups and down days
yeah.
on that myself. And, you know, you find new ways or whatever to battle it, but it's yeah. a daily thing for sure.
And I think, you know, Devin, kind of more to your question is, even if it is a small task, is, you know, I was talking with Derek and Levi before we hit record, before you showed up, and it was, you know, there's something about just accomplishing something. You know, I can't remember his name, but it's that like former Navy SEAL officer that talks about making your bed every morning. You know, so you've got that, you've already accomplished that task for the day, so that already sets you up for success. You know, even at the end of the day, if you don't feel like you've accomplished anything, you can say, oh, look, but at least I made my bed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Derek, I know you were talking, I don't know if you still are, but you used to do that like 10, 15 minute intense workout yeah. and prayer like every morning,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. and you talked about how that help set you up for success for the day.
Yeah.
You know, Levi, you were reading a chapter a night. You know, you can look back and say, hey, yeah. I accomplished that yeah, yesterday. What can I accomplish today?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like it's almost like you take those small victories, mm-hmm. even if it's completing a task or completing a step of a task. And it's like you carry that through. You do your best to carry that through. And I'm far, far from an expert at this. But you carry that through and you help apply that, and and you do, it's like, you know that you've accomplished this. You know that you've succeeded in that area. So then when you are with your kids, you're like, you know what? I'm going to be fully focused, you know, even if it is for 10 minutes. Or, you know, I know we all have boys, so we're all boy dads, you know.
Yeah.
I know some of the stories my 9-year-old tells. I'm like, just get to the point, dude. Just get to the point, please. Sometime before it's bedtime, get to the point. And you just got to be there in that moment with him, because what he's telling you is like the most exciting thing in his world.
Yeah.
Even though it makes no sense, or it's the silliest thing, or it's like, man, I don't have time for this. But it's like, I got to be in that moment, because. Yeah. Accomplishing that little task of just listening to his story,
yeah,
will set you up for success.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I think as men, we can get overwhelmed because we take responsibility for a lot of things,
everything,
and then everything. And then when you get overwhelmed, when you have a couple different choices. I don't think all of us are wired. I think it's a very few that are wired to the point of like they don't get overwhelmed; they just keep going.
Yeah.
I think that's a unique individual, and a few guys that are like that. But I mean, I had it in my own life where it's like the overwhelm becomes so intense that you like, what are you gonna do?
Yeah,
you know. And twice I had like panic attacks, full on anxiety. Levi was with me one time driving home from a mutual workplace, and it was like I took on a lot every single day, and I just did it, and I did it, and I did it. And then all of a sudden, my body just goes, that's enough, bro.
Yeah.
And I didn't really realize it, that I couldn't. Mm-hmm. But then until I couldn't.
Yeah.
And then, like, I thought I was having having chest pains. I thought it was a heart attack. This whole thing, had to stay the night in the hospital and all this mess. And it happened to me again about a year later. And I think it's like once it happened once, it was like the dam was open, and I became more sensitive to any level of stress.
Yeah.
And it really like came down to like, okay, I have to simplify my life to what's the most important things. And if it's not that, then just not care about it or get it away from me. Like, I'm not going to invest my mental energy into this. I mean, sometimes I've even done it with my wife, and it makes her kind of upset sometimes, but I'm like, I don't have like in the workday.
Yeah.
Hey, ask me later.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go there right now. I can't do that. I can't talk about this. Like, and I guess through that, I kind of learned my limits of like, mm-hmm. I only have so much I can do on a daily basis, and this is not that big a deal.
Yeah.
And I know it's important to you, but I can't do it right now. And, and she's learned too. And so it's like, we've grown in that together, but it's important to learn your limit and then communicate it to those that are closest to you, those that matter, typically the ones in your house or the ones you spend most of your life do life with. That way everyone kind of understands like who you are and how you think and that kind of stuff, because I don't want to go. I don't want to have that happen again. And it's been, I don't know, four years or so roughly. But it's like, it took that pain, and then reprioritizing kind of life, but removing all that stuff that just vies for our attention and wants us. Like Levi's talking about, he kind of got rid of just all the other stuff that maybe he kind of wanted to do, whatever else. And he's told us about like really just trimming down, like what do I even actually like to do, and not versus like all these things that sound good and maybe do this or that or this or that. Like, what do you actually really want to do, and just get rid of all the noise.
Yeah.
And that can bring just a load of peace to your life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right on. And you mentioned reading the Bible. And so I knew I needed to read my Bible. I literally just could not do it before.
Yeah.
I could not do it. And you're like, before what? I'll tell you. But I could not do it before. I couldn't, like, I knew it was right. I knew I wanted to. Even when I was in the school ministry, it was a struggle. And like, I did it then, especially because of like, you're assigned homework, so you just do it, right? But like, and I liked it, and I loved the God, and I loved the Word of God and stuff, but it was like something I just couldn't stick to, a chapter a day. Like, it was just not available in my time, space of who I was to do that. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I couldn't have even given you a real reason why. And what you were saying is like when you tell Sabrina, I can't right now, like the vulnerability and the openness to be able to admit that, that confession to your spouse,
yeah,
this person God has provided to you, that will go a long way, more than we as men will want to admit. Excuse me. More than we as men will want to admit, being vulnerable and open specifically with our spouse is a very powerful thing.
Yeah.
And even I'll say this to you real quick, even if she doesn't necessarily have a good response to it,
yeah,
it still opens up heaven to make things right there in your life. And so what I did is I had some things I was dealing with I never admitted to anybody. And I opened up the floodgates of my life and I told my wife everything.
Yeah.
Right. And that was the thing that brought the restlessness to an end.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have told you I was restless. I would have just told you, like, I don't know why I can't read my, you know, I don't stick to routines and blah, yeah, blah, blah, just who I am, yada, 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 yada. Wasn't real. That wasn't actually what was actually going on. What was actually going on was unspoken, right? And so then I opened up and I told her things. And it got to the point where, yeah, okay, maybe there's a sin in your life or maybe something like that. But it's also like, hey, this bothers me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you know, having as men the vulnerability to say that and then to say it to people you trust in your life, mm-hmm, say, hey, I need help in this. Or whenever I'm around a group of guys, this goes through my mind. I know this isn't right about the way I think about myself and blah, 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 blah. And like you just begin this process of openness and confession, yeah, and like speaking real, honest, true. Who are you really? Like, who are you really? And if it's a prideful idiot, then just accept that,
yeah,
and start, you know what I mean? Like slowly from there, as you're honest with it and honest with God and people around you about it, you start to change. And then I didn't read my Bible for a month and a half after I talked with my wife in this way, for the first time, really.
Yeah.
And there was so much inside going on at that time to where now then finally I did start reading a chapter. Now I'm up to 3 chapters a day because, nice, I'm doing it breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And it's just like, it's this flow. Something's just flowing. It's just going. I want to.
Yeah.
I desire, mm-hmm, it. Sure, you have up and down days, but there's a commitment now. There's I'm becoming somebody different. And I just heard a message that spoke about what I feel like this really is. And it was when Jerusalem was torn down in Nehemiah and they're rebuilding the city. And what Nehemiah did is he posted people in the gaps in the wall,
yeah,
to protect it from the enemy while the city was being rebuilt. And he said, that's like, it's like confession. You confess to each other. You're like, I am rebuilding right now. And you have people in your life that you post in those gaps,
yeah,
to protect you while you're rebuilding.
Yeah.
Like, and I had friends and family in my life who did that for me and my wife.
Yeah.
They stood, yeah, in the gap for my family and protected us and prayed over us and checked on us as we worked through it, because I am rebuilding this city.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it is torn down. It is a mess. I cannot do it alone, right? And so, man, I think a lot of stuff can be helped and fixed with us as guys by openness and vulnerability with the people closest to us and allowing them the opportunity to stand in that gap. If they don't even know there's a gap there, they can't stand there for you.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Which, so...
so good.
That is really good. But then I'm reminded of conversations that you and I had, gosh, I don't remember, a long time ago.
Yeah.
Like, because we've talked about this, you know, being, hey, be open and honest and vulnerable with the people around you.
Yeah.
And the question that you posed that I don't know that I still have a good answer for was, like, what about the men that don't have those people,
yeah,
in their life, those close friends, right?
Yeah.
Who do they talk to? That's a hard question.
Yeah.
Like, because it is different when you have people that you're vulnerable with and that you're kind of doing life with. But I know you mentioned, hey, it's hard for me to put myself out there to get new friends.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I guess a question from that for anybody, you know, maybe you in particular, Luke, like, what did that process maybe look like as far as getting some guys around you that you trusted and that you felt open with and comfortable with to be able to start talking about some of those things?
When I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Oh, I think you said, I mean, at least you, this one, he just mentioned it, like you actually just said, you yeah. said it. That's what yeah. Levi was just talking about, just being open
yeah.
and just saying it. You just said it. And then it's like, well, other people will be like, well, I like you. We can be friends. Like,
yeah.
So like being small kids and like, yeah. will you be my friend? Like you just, they just met a kid at the park and like they've been playing for 15 minutes and like, hey, will you be my friend? You know, like
he's my
they,
best friend.
And they're never going to see each other again, minutes. Probably.
That's my kid, man. That's yeah. right. But
it's, I mean, I'll say for me, it is, it's a struggle because, you know, especially as men, everybody's got their own schedules. Everybody's got their own, you know, their own, yeah, just their own stuff's going on, you know, between wives, kids, you know, sometimes dealing with parents, you know, outside commitment, you know, work commitments, outside of work commitments, you know, and it's just everybody's got stuff going on and it's just, can I'll put it on me. Can I, as a man, in a way, do I feel comfortable enough putting myself out there to say, hey, I want to hang out. Hey, I want to, you know, I want to get into your life, you know, because I've, for many years, I've sat on the sidelines and I've said, you know, almost like our last episode that we all talked about, you know, with the comparison and all that, it's, you know, they've got, you know, this guy has something in his life that I really want to learn from. And, mm-hmm. you know, yes, he might be younger than I am, but he could mentor me in this area. And it's like, how do I go up and say, you know, hey, Levi, can you teach me about this?
Right.
You know, hey, can we hang out and you guide me in this area of my right. life? You know, and it's, you know, again, it's...
You say it like that, though, right?
Right. Like, you know, and all of a sudden, you got this look on your face like, I got nothing. I don't know what you're talking to me for. You know, but
well,
it's...
No.
Oh, is that not the look? I read that wrong?
No,
see?
Yeah.
See, like, you read
that's
it wrong.
The way I read
what
it.
I was, no, the face I was giving you was like, you say it like that, right?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't have told you that even 4 or 5 months ago.
Yeah.
But I've gotten now to the place where you say it like that, and... The reality of it is like, dude, we're all kind of, what is it? Like we're clay jars.
Yeah.
With the glory of God in clay jars. Like we're all kind of broken together.
Mm.
Like I'm starting to, as my own image is changing and my own, I'm seeing other people different too. And I'm like, oh, we're all kind of just in this together. Like we yeah. really, you know, we're hearing from each one of us having our different moments and times and mental stuff. Like, but I perceived you as not, right? Like I perceived you as like somebody here or there. Like, but when I see Derek in an area that I'm trying to sell a car, right? I'm like, Derek, teach me what you did. Like yeah. I sent him a text today. I'm like, I want to talk to you about it. Like, no, you definitely say it like that.
Yeah.
Because when you preconceive what the other person's answer is going to be before you ask him, like you're building up an image of them that may not be true. Like,
yeah.
you know, so yeah, I've come to the place now where I say it like that.
Yeah.
Right. And I tell people,
I think yeah. that's really good because one of two outcomes comes, right? Like you were like real honest and open and exactly what you needed. And they're going to be like, yeah, man, I'm going to help you.
Yeah.
Or maybe there's part answer one, A, I'll help you. One B is, maybe I'm not the best person for that, but I know someone who is.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
Point being, that's a good person.
That is a good person, yes.
Option yeah. two is they are a complete butthole to you.
Yes.
And then you go, oh, okay. Well, thank you for making it clear that I should get you out of my life. Either yeah, way, you get a good outcome, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
either way, because like, okay, you're a toxic human who just, I definitely shouldn't invest my time in or spend my time right. around. You're yeah. not actually a friend.
That's good.
You know?
And yeah. to that point, before I talked with my wife, I called somebody else. And he was like, yeah, I'm not the right person, but I'll tell you who is. Mm, and he sent me to that person. That person's like, cool, great.
Yeah.
You need to tell your wife. And I was like, hell no.
Bad advice. Who's next?
Next. Rule that just like ended my world there. But, yeah. And maybe one of these days we'll go down some of that. But yeah, man, it is just the you know, there's brokenness in each one of us, but there's also Jesus in each one of us, those of us who are followers of God, right?
Yeah.
And in a way, it's kind of reaching out to Jesus when we do that with mm-hmm. each other.
Yeah.
And giving him the opportunity and the avenue to touch us through that person by just totally like point blank, hey, I'd like to hang out with you sometime.
Yeah.
You know, can we make some time to make this happen?
Yeah.
Not like, oh, I wish. It would be great. No, like just flat ask him.
Yeah. For me, if you like ho-hum around it like that, I'm like,
it's true.
Never get away from me because I just can't handle
it's kind of a victim-y
thing that comes out. Like,
but it's almost like that fish handshake.
Yeah.
That limp handshake.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I don't want to.
Like, dude, be a man and just ask. Like, be a man and just ask me. Like, I will respect you so much and I will make it happen.
Yeah.
You know? But if you're just going to be like, oh, I just so, oh, and I'm like, oh, Mr. Woe is me. I can't.
Yeah.
I know that's like kind of harsh, but you will deflect people in your life if that's how you are.
Yeah.
If that's how you act. Mm-hmm. Like, it works. It can like work as a child because your parents will be like wanting to fulfill your needs. But eventually, like, that method is going to run out. It won't work or be effective. And you'll just have people avoiding you.
Yeah.
And you'll have the opposite of what you really want.
Yeah.
They'll probably either avoid you, or the flip side of that is they're going to help reaffirm your feelings, which are probably not good.
Yeah.
They're going to agree with you're absolutely right. You know, they're going to kind of play into that victim deal. They're going to build up that thing that really should be destroyed and taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's why you look for the right person, right? And I think, honestly, I think truthfully, I'm admitting this to this person because I know they're going to agree with me. Like, I think when it's going to be somebody who's just going to be like, yeah, man, totally get it, it's fine.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think somewhere you talk to that person because you had that sense that, like, they're going to agree with me and I'm going to feel better for it, right?
Because in a way, you're looking for somebody to agree with you and to reaffirm your choices.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't do that. Tell it to the person that is last on your list, right?
Yeah.
I don't want to tell it to my wife.
Yeah.
So, tell the person you're afraid of telling.
Right.
Because you're afraid because you know that they're going to probably say something that you won't want to hear, but you probably need to hear.
Yeah. You're prideful, honestly.
Yeah.
It's pride, right?
Yeah.
Really is.
It's hard, though. It's hard. That's hard. I mean, as men, I feel like it's a lot easier for me now in my life to just admit and do those things. And it's helped me in lots of areas. It's helped me at my job. I might tell people every day that I've worked with a lot of smart people, and I'll just tell them if I don't know something.
Yeah.
Like, what am I going to do? I want to be fake.
Yeah.
I don't want to be, I can't live that way. You know, just being real.
And see, and I'm good at the admitting I don't know. I'm good at saying, hey, here's where I'm short. I know that right now where I stand, I am not good at putting myself out there. Mm-hmm. And that's a struggle that I deal with, is I know I need to be better at putting myself out there. And my brain always talks me into, no, it's okay. So it's as much as I know I need to get out of my comfort zone, and all of those things. And I know that growth comes from discomfort. It's like, I know that that's a struggle for me. And I'm not 100% sure where it comes from, but I know that's one of my struggles.
So what's the difference for you between, I guess, what is the difference between saying, like, being able to tell somebody like, hey, I need help with this, and then putting yourself out there? What is that? You say one's easy and one's kind of more difficult.
Oh, like for me, it's like, I know that, like, okay, my wife and I have a podcast, and I know we've had at least one episode where it's like, oh, you need to be uncomfortable for growth to happen, and you need to just put yourself out there, and you gotta thrive in the being uncomfortable, and you know, I mean, it was just, I mean, we had a whole episode about it, and it was just, you know, because that's how, again, that's where growth happens. You know, you look at even animals in nature, you know, like lobsters and stuff like that, you know, they have to get uncomfortable in their own shell to know that they need to shed that shell so they can grow bigger. You know, going to the gym, you know, doing sports, you know, you have to, there's that level of resistance and almost pain that comes with growth, that comes with, you know, stepping out there. You know, Devin, you were baseball, you know, you had to put yourself out there for the more competitive teams to try out for college ball. You know, Derek, you were track, you know, you had to, there was that pain and discomfort from running and pushing yourself that hard. You know, even Levi, you know, getting up in front of people and, you know, I don't know how much of a choice you had with that documentary, but it's like, hey, you're going to now be the face of this. Have fun. Thanks. You know, so it's like, I know the concepts. I know the principles. I know enough to talk about it and say that's a good thing. I'm not the best at walking it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That text that I sent you guys, that when I said, I'm struggling, I debated and went back and forth probably almost at least a week before I even typed anything and then hit send. It's because because my brain does spiral in such a bad way and in such a, it's like I convince myself that people will reject me and write me off and not want to help me. And it's just, so it's like, again, I know I need to do this. I need to be better. I need to put myself out there. I need to grow in these areas. It's the actual walking out that is difficult for me.
Okay. I see. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's, to yourself, you can admit,
yes,
that's the easy part, to kind of recognize and know, okay, I need to, but yeah, actually then the follow through with,
yeah. Or if I was talking with a friend, you know, like Devin, you come up to me and you're like, hey man, this is what's going on in my life, and it's like, oh well, here's what you need, you know, here's some advice or here's some things that you could try, and it's like, I'm really good at saying, recognizing, oh, here's some places where you could step out, but I don't always practice what I preach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now that makes me sound like a trash human being.
No.
Like, sweet.
Like, it's a, you're admitting the rubble in the city, and now you need some guys to stand in that gap for you. So, like,
yeah,
here's my question. Like, what can Luke do from now until Sunday? It could be even something on Sunday,
yeah,
that the three of us can check in and hold you accountable to. Like, what's something that's going to be something you would, you're like, okay, I think I need to XYZ.
Yeah.
And what happens, what they've done for me, and we've done for each other in different ways too, and now we're going to do it for you, is we're going to check in and go, make sure you had that conversation or you did that,
yeah,
that thing or whatever. Like, we're going to check in on it. And if it didn't, why didn't it happen? Then, yeah, what can we do to help it happen? And, like,
yeah,
you know, it's not like a, we've definitely failed,
yeah,
at different things, but then we were there to be like, yeah, okay, but all right, let's go, right? Like,
yeah.
And so, like, what's something, Luke, we can help hold you accountable for and be there with you for from now to Sunday that you could do?
Yeah. Well, first off, disclaimer for our listeners, we are recording this on a Monday. So when you say Sunday, you know, because this is usually published on a Friday, so it's like, wow, you gave him a day and a half. Good job, Levi.
Yeah, crack of the whip. Let's go. Yeah.
And I guess I don't know, because that's part of the struggle, I guess, is, you know, in a way I don't know what I don't know.
Yeah.
you know, again, if it was task based, I could say, okay, here's the areas that I know that I need to put time in, on different areas of my life this week, you know. And again, it's, you know, stuff with my shop, my kids, my wife, you know, working on podcast stuff, reading my Bible. But it's, I don't know, as far as the reaching out and forcing myself to be uncomfortable, off the top of my head, I can't think of any areas of where it's like, this is where I need to reach out.
Yeah, I wonder, I was just putting it out there, see what you guys think too, and take suggestions. And, but like, I wonder if we hold you to it that between Wednesday service, Friday service, because we have Wednesday, Friday, Sunday service for those who are listening at our church. Between those 3 days, if you come and talk to each one of us at least once during those 3 days and tell us something that happened during your week, good and bad.
Yeah.
And like have that open, because I think opening the conversation and getting yourself to come out of your own thinking box, right, mm-hmm. and thinking outward a little bit and having... letting it go, right? Letting somebody else kind of hear a little bit and give feedback to, right? We all need that. But I wonder if between now and next week, Sunday, these three services, you make the effort, whatever it takes, to go find each one of us at least once in those three services and to tell us something about your week.
Yeah.
That was good. That was God. That was right. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Some word-working thing you did, whatever. It doesn't have to be. But then it's something that, like, man, I didn't like this, or I really struggled with this, or whatever. Like, just to get that conversation going and not feel isolated, because you're really not, you know, because we were always there ready to listen, right? Like, I'm not like isolating you in this thing.
Yeah,
I think like it's good for people
to hear. I'm glad
to
be the example.
Yeah.
I really am. Yeah.
No, it's good. And so that could be something we're going to be like, dude, I didn't get you Wednesday, so am I going to find you Friday? You know, like we can reach out and just make sure you're there and present and ready for that conversation. I don't know if that's...
I mean, no, that does. That makes sense, because I think even something like a simple check-in, you know, is effective. Could be really effective, because... You know, I had a conversation with one of my managers, the head of my division today, and it was, you know, part of the conversation was, I recently got passed up for a promotion at work, and, you know, I was talking to him today, and I said, part of that has brought a lot of introspection, a lot of. Is this where I want to be for my career? Is this still the direction that I want to go? You know, because, you know, short term at my career is I'd like to become a supervisor, where I work. And it's so getting passed up, it's like, do I still try for that? Or should I shift my focus? You know, should I try to be at a different office? You know, do I still want to be in this career field? You know, so knowing that my goal is a check-in with the three of you, separately, knowing that will, like, in a way, that task prepares my brain to, okay, here's what I need to be thinking about. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it will force me to, okay, what did I do this week?
That's good.
Yeah. You know, because if you ask me what I did last week, I'd be like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I worked on some stuff, I think. I made a bench for my wife, workbench.
There you go.
You know, so it will probably do better. You know, it will. I know it will force me to, like I said, be more cognizant of what I'm doing and going through.
Yeah. And two, kind of the opposite side of that same coin. Within Levi's example of Nehemiah, like the men that went and stood in the gap had to be intentional about doing that.
Yeah.
They had to choose to do it, right? So it's, we can say, Luke, you better come find me. But since we're having this conversation and we're opening it up to like, hey, you come communicate with me. Like, I have to then place some kind of expectation on myself that I'm also going to go reach out, because I know we've been talking using you as the example kind of today, but like I've dealt with not to the same extent. Like I've dealt with depression, I've dealt with suicidal thoughts. I've kind of gone through some of that as well. When you're in it, when you're the guy that's dealing with it, if the expectation is that you come and talk to me,
I'm
going to fail a lot at doing that. Or if it's a text or even sometimes a phone call, but a text especially, like I can just tell you words.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I can hide, right? But that's where it's really good when you can find those men that are not just going to be like, hey, you can reach out anytime you need, but they're gonna take the time and reach out themselves and force you, in a sense, to open up and communicate. How are you really doing?
Right. Yeah. Especially because you said you want it. You know, you've opened the door. So like, okay.
Yeah.
Like you got to tell. My wife helps me so much with so many things, but she was reading a book and she's like, you have your people and you got to tell people what you need from them.
Yeah.
And if you don't do that, like what you can't expect anything from anyone.
Yeah.
And then what are you even doing? You're just might be mad at somebody cause they didn't do something for you, but you never told them what you need from them.
Yeah.
You know, true, and they didn't agree to anything cause you didn't tell them.
Yeah.
So like you telling us that, you know, if it's what Levi suggests or whatever, it's just that.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll be intentional about checking in with you.
Exactly.
Getting in your face, asking how it's going.
Yeah.
You know, when you see us, that's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you try to hide from us, we will find you. Like, because we know you, because we know ultimately that's what you do want.
Yes.
Right.
You can still have your moments.
Yeah.
Where you might want to hide or even do it. Try to be like not seen, but you have people that know what you really want and need, and then we can be that for you.
And also the three of you and there are others that, you know, are close enough and know me enough and also are tapped into the Holy Spirit with discernment and all, that if I look at you in the face and I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm good. You know, you're like, no, I know that look. be honest, you know. Yeah. So, you know, I felt bad because, Derek, you invited me out to an event in May, and I'm like, man, I've been wanting to do something like this, and that's the weekend I'm out of town for my anniversary.
Yes.
But that's okay. That's okay. You know, but there's a list of, you know, and I think that's another thing, is like I have a list of, you know, men in my life and near my life that it's like I want to learn this skill from them, but it's almost one of those things that it's like I know my life is busy and it's like I'm not ready for that at this time, or you know, am I genuinely too busy for that task at this time, or am I saying I'm too busy? And then
I mean, you got to be, to Levi's point earlier, like you have to be really honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And pride is something that has to go.
Yeah.
And pride looks so different, right? A lot. For me, the pride that I see is easiest to recognize is what a lot of times can come out as like arrogance, right? Like there's that kind of pride, but then it's also prideful to be closed off and to not open up to other people about what you're going through, especially as men. Like, there's a lot of pride there.
Yeah.
To be like, look, I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm dealing with depression, that I'm dealing with suicidal thoughts. Like, I'm just going to take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll figure out a way to get it done. Mm-hmm. Right? And there's a lot of pride with that. So we have to start with being really open and honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
Being like, look, this is, for a lot of people, like, anxiety attacks for me for a long time, it was, you know, probably 15 to 20 years of dealing with those.
Yeah.
Like it was so easy to be like, look, I'm going to figure it out. Or because I'm a Christian, God's just going to take care of it.
Yeah.
You know, and then here I am having another panic attack.
Yeah.
You know, like I had to get honest and open and for me, like I even had to go talk to people professionally.
Yeah.
Right? And so there's, as Christians, I believe there's definitely spiritual things. There's demonic things and oppression that can go on.
Yeah.
That if that can get dealt with, there's going to be freedom. But I do also believe that, you know, just as we deal with sickness, physical, there's sickness of the mind.
Yeah.
That does at times require some medication, requires people, you know, talking to people that have gone through and studied this.
Yeah.
You know, and ideally, again, because we're Christian guys, like I've talked to one of our pastors, you know, who has a degree
in
this. You know, and so it's kind of nice to be able to get, like, here's the clinical side of it, but this also in correlation with what the Word of God says.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, we've got to be able to get over our pride, be real open and honest with ourselves.
Yeah.
And say, look, I don't care how this makes me look.
Yeah.
I would rather look bad and feel some embarrassment than continue to deal with this thing that very well could take my life.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah.
So that's definitely a start. It's just be honest with yourself with where you're at.
Yeah. And I think it also helps to have, you know, as important as it is to be able to recognize and reach out, it's also important to have those strong men friends around you that say, dude, you've been down for a while, or I've been noticing changes. Are you okay? You know, and that genuine, you know, kind of back to the, you know, genuine check-in of, you know, I know you say you're okay, but you don't seem okay. What's really going on?
Yeah. I mean, I can hit that one real quick. Right. So like Levi's kind of talking about some of the stuff that was going on and, you know, there was a group of four of us, the three of us here, Derek and Levi and myself, and then another friend of ours, who is really like a brother.
Yeah.
Really. You know. Like Levi had some stuff going on. Then we decided, hey, we spend all this time together with our families, but like one, we probably should have caught this if we were really intentional in each other's lives.
Yeah.
And it just kind of opened up our eyes to be like, you know what? We're not that close in a sense.
Yeah.
Right. We're not walking this life together. And we're like, hey, let's start doing a weekly call.
Yeah.
So once a week, we have an hour-long call. Kind of, you know, accountability, just checking in even. Like, Levi's talking with you. Like, we're just checking in. What's something good that happened? What's maybe something that wasn't so good? It's funny because we start that call in the first couple weeks. Like, Levi either wasn't able to make it or his time was cut short.
Yeah.
And, like, attention got put on me a little bit, which was really good.
Yeah.
You know, it ended up being really good. But yeah, I mean, from that, it was these guys, and at the time I hated it.
Yeah.
Like, we're getting together on a Sunday like we normally do. They'd already talked with my wife, and we're like, hey, we're going to take Devin out of the house. Like, we're going to go as the guys and talk about some stuff.
Yeah.
And end up going to a coffee shop, and I'm like,
he still doesn't know.
I have no idea what's going on. We're just going to get some coffee and we start talking, and I kind of realize, like, oh, it's kind of like an intervention. Yeah. And my first response was like to buck up against it, right? Like,
oh yeah.
No, you guys are hitting on this shell.
Yeah.
Trying to get in, and I don't like it. You know, this little home that I created for myself or bubble. And but to that point, like, I had guys in my life that they weren't waiting for me to reach out to them.
Yeah.
Like, they noticed differences in how I was behaving, differences in how I was just around them, how I felt, again, Christians, Holy Spirit filled. Like, they noticed and recognized things that I thought I was hiding.
Yeah.
And it really wasn't. But having those group of men that will actually take the time to pull you out of that stuff. And it wasn't like, hey, we're going to come reaffirm how you feel or make you feel good. Like, where are you at?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
You know, and like some hard conversations.
Yeah.
Real hard. And then making, like, afterwards, like, hey, you got to have this conversation with your wife. Everything that we talked about, you have to talk about with her. Mm-hmm. And so
this right went now, from uncomfortable right to worse. It was,
we're going
to
watch Uriah go with Christy right now. Here's the keys to my house, because we were at somebody else's house. Go to my house. And there was legitimately, though, I'm sitting next to you, and I'm like, I feel like he's about to hit me. But more than anything, I felt like he was going to hit Jonathan. That's who our other friend was. I was like, whoa. He's gonna deck this dude. But like, it was just the intensity of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wasn't though, we could have always done that. We could have been doing this 4 or 5 years ago. It wasn't though until we became intentional with ourselves to be open and honest, but that those things started opening up and changing our lives and then some other people around us too. And so like, you know, it doesn't have to be the weekly call necessarily, but these times that these conversations we're going to start having with you, Luke, more specifically, is going to open up to better things, deeper things, more stuff. We're going to be able to, there's a spiritual sense, but then there's a knowing too. Yeah. I know you now. Like, we're going to be more able to look and go, okay, he needs this. But also, I just had somebody do it to me yesterday, your wife, Derek. We're also going to be able to look at you and encourage you in a way that nobody else in that room could.
Yeah.
Nobody else who doesn't know, is a part of, not a part of. And she said some things to me yesterday that I really needed to hear. And so we're going to be able to do that now too. It's not just like the check-in. It's not just the checkup. You know, we've been able to tell Devin, hey man, we see some of these changes.
Yeah.
When he's down or whatever, like, we get it. It's a struggle today, but like, dude, we've seen these changes. You're getting better. Like, you know what I mean? We're able to speak those things now over each other as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, encouragement is a gift.
Yes. Yeah.
And so, you know, we're going to be able to do those things too. And so I'm excited, man. I'm excited to.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. Yeah. I mean, you just, for those guys that are like, listen to this, and maybe you're just the loner guy, you're by yourself. Like, you want to just kind of like just stop it. But like, listen to this over and over again if you have to, and just build up the courage enough to send a message to a few guys and be real. Like,
even if it's one guy,
even if it's just one, just do it quick. Just do it. Just, hey man, I really need help about serious stuff. Can we talk about serious stuff? Yeah. Just do it. Odds are pretty good that guy's going to be like, yeah, let's do that. That's what Levi opened up to the other three of us guys we're talking about meeting and said, hey, I'm dealing with this.
Yeah.
It was a hard thing.
Yeah.
And that triggered us to be like, let's do this. And then, Devin got the attention on him, but like, it allowed the Lord to like open up doors and be like, what do we need to do here? And let's get guys being there, you know, being there who they're supposed to be, who God has made them to be.
Yeah.
And to live that out. So don't back down. Like, don't listen to that voice of no one wants to hear from me or whatever else. Like, there's probably a very small percentage of guys that actually have like not a single person. I think everybody has at least a person that you could be like, let's get real, man. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You know, and just do it. It's worth it. Your better life is like on the other side of just doing this. And it opens up all the good things in your life that you want and that maybe you didn't have. Levi's seeing it 100%. Devin's seeing things open up like, and our friend Jonathan, the same way. Even for me personally, like new levels of life are happening for me.
Yeah.
And it all really started as we started this together of just like, let's just be real. And we have more fun together too. And it's like, you know, we can have fun at the surface level stuff and joke and mess around, but it's like, it's really refreshing to have like some real stuff.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that guy told me you need to tell my wife, and for 3 days, kind of like you struggled for a week to send out that text, right? For like 3 days. I was like, I finally just got to the point, I'm like, God, basically you're going to have to force me to do this. Like, I need an absolute clear.
Yeah.
I need to do this from you, because I dealt with it myself for so long.
Yeah.
And then such a lie, such a deception. It just is 100%. It's not deception if it's not 100%.
Yeah.
It was 100% deception.
Yeah.
Things I was dealing with and the way it was affecting my life. And I didn't know until I was on the other side. And so I'm in the middle of that. It's 3 days later. And Jonathan sends out a text to us guys like, hey, I want to start a phone call where we're, you know, able to be more open and honest with each other. And I'm at work and I'm like, I got up right there, went into the bathroom, didn't have to go to the bathroom. I just needed a moment, right?
Yeah.
Sat down and I just texted it because I was too much of a sissy and a wimp to speak it out loud. And I said, I know if I send this text and I tell them, I'm going to have to tell her. Yeah. And I knew that was the next step. Man, I can feel it. That moment was so hard and intense. And I sent that and I was like, dang it.
It's done.
But at the same time, it felt really good. And yeah, I mean, you know, we went, it was not easy.
Yeah.
It was not, it didn't, it was really hard having those conversations with Sinead, some things she probably didn't want to hear. And so that was really, really hard. But almost instantly after it was done, I felt such relief and change and emotions and this flood of stuff that I was like, if it was even harder than this, and I knew it was going to be even harder than this, I would still do it because what I'm feeling right now is actually living.
Yeah.
And so it was just, you know, so yeah, if you're struggling with that concept of opening up to somebody about that thing in your life, dude, we are all clay pots. Like, you're not going to be telling somebody who's this golden pot that has never done, and they're going to look at you. And if they do, you told the wrong person, go find somebody else. Like,
yeah, if they give off that persona or that feeling that everything's golden and I'm perfect, like,
that's
they're probably lying. And they're lying. They're absolutely lying.
They're lying too. Absolutely. And so, because it's love, really, man, to look and you take on that person and help them or whatever. But, like, yeah, if you're struggling with that, like, no, you absolutely need to do it.
Yeah.
You absolutely need to do it and open up to somebody.
Yeah, that's and good. Any of the voices, because I know a lot of people that deal with depression and suicidal thoughts, like, there's voices or thoughts, even if it's, you know, your voice in your head that you're hearing, right? Like, if those, any of those things that are looking to isolate you, keep you away from others, you already know that's a lie. And let this, you know, let this kind of be that reminder. Like, it's a lie. There's no value in it. There's nothing good in it.
Yeah.
You know, scripture even kind of, you know, even talks about it. You know, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour. And it's always the sheep that's off by itself.
Yep.
You know, and you see that in, you see that in the wild. You know, wolves doing that with their prey. They're in a pack, and they go and they isolate the one, and then they take down the one rather than dealing with an entire group.
Yep.
Because then they're going to lose.
Yeah.
But and then just knowing, like we kind of have to, you have to be okay too with some rejection.
Yeah.
Like, these guys, you know, these guys may not do anything in return.
Yeah.
But for me, I need to do this.
Yeah.
I need to I need to open this up. How they respond is how they respond. And if I need to go somewhere else, that's what I'm going to do. But I'm going to take that step and be like, I need help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is where I'm at. Mm-hmm. You know, so just knowing that those voices that are telling you to not do this, this other person has their own life. They have their own priorities. Mm-hmm. I don't want to burden them.
Yep.
Right? It kind of comes from a place where it sounds like you're doing them a favor.
I'm really, really good at making excuses for other people.
You do it for them so that they don't have to do it to you.
Exactly.
When you ask.
Yeah.
You know,
see, like, they got their own stuff going on. They got their own families. Oh man, I know they've been dealing with this. Oh, they're busy at work now. It's okay. I got this.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like all those voices.
Yeah. Like, when you were actually rejected, right?
Right. Yeah, because you're too busy to reject me. So you're too busy to take my call. It's cool. It's cool. Defense. I got this. I got this. Yeah.
Yeah, man. All those voices and all those lies trying to isolate. Like, you can just build the courage to do that one step.
Yep.
And kind of get it out there.
Yeah.
I mean, even that in itself is freeing.
Yeah.
Like, Levi, it's as hard as it was to send that, but like knowing if I sell these guys, if I open up about this, I have to then do this next step.
Yeah.
It made it easier. It didn't mean it was easy.
Yeah.
It just made it easier. And even since, like, I had to do that with one of our recent calls. I'm like, look, I don't want to tell these guys. But this is the whole point. This is what we committed to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we get on the call, and there's kind of always the fluff in the beginning. And
oh, yeah.
We're like, okay, who wants to go first? And I'm like, hey, I have to go now, or I'm not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
good. Yeah. And I knew if I tell these guys, I have to talk to my wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know that's the next step.
Yeah.
And as hard as it was and difficult as it was, took the step, had the conversation with my wife.
Yep.
And it was painful.
Yeah.
But it would have been, it could have, has the potential to build and be more devastating mm-hmm. down the road if it's not dealt with.
Yeah.
Especially as the sooner the better.
Yeah.
And I think too, confession for me was always there's a priest. Right.
Yeah.
You tell the priest. If I had gone and told the priest, there's no accountability. You got to find the person.
Yeah.
So if you're looking or wondering who you should tell, think of the person you know will hold you accountable to something. Mm. You should tell. Right. If I had just gone and told the priest, I would have temporarily felt better.
Yeah. Right.
But he's not holding me. Well, I don't know. I guess I've never done confession to a priest.
I imagine
you just tell him and that's it, right? And you walk out and he's not supposed to tell anybody else. So it's locked away, but I spoke it. I feel a little better. That's not what we're talking about. You might as well go to the bar and drink and tell the bartender. It did nothing for you.
It's just as
you.
Effective. I promise. I can tell you from experience, it's just as effective.
And maybe temporarily, there you go. Maybe temporarily you felt better, but it's that next step. You need to tell the person you know is going to then hold you accountable to talking to your wife or whatever, that to Luke opening up to us in services or at different times, right? It's that those are the people. And now I'm pondering why you didn't tell us what the subject of this podcast was until the moment we came in here and sat down. Were you debating it?
I kind of was. And I think it just, honestly, it just slipped my mind. Because for a while I've had this one and the previous two with the three of you guys, I've had pre-planned, I want to talk to them about these three things. And I thought I told at least one of you my plan going forward, but this one did not go the way I thought it was going to go. So I appreciate that. I thank y'all. Mm.
Yeah.
Because I know for a little bit, I know some of Devin's story with his struggles, and I know I'm mostly familiar with my struggles, mental health. I know Derek, you've gone through your breakdowns. And so I know a lot of men deal with a lot of these questions.
Yeah.
And one thing I've learned through this life, through thinking about this podcast, with Dina and I think, working with our podcast, it's if we're thinking it, there's others thinking it.
Yeah. Right.
I know one time we were in a marrieds group and they split the men and the women up for a couple nights, and there was stuff going on in the men's circle, and it's one guy would say something, another guy would say something, and eventually it's one guy's I thought I was the only one that was thinking this, or I was the only one dealing with this, and I've come to find out that almost every other husband is dealing with this or something similar. So it's one of those things that I know a lot of men deal with this. Not a lot of men talk about this. Not a lot of men confront this.
Right.
Not a lot of men check in on each other or raise their hand when it comes to mental health struggle. And I know as men, as Christian men, this could take us out so easily.
Yep.
I've watched it in the mirror. Mm-hmm. It's almost taken me out so many times. Mm-hmm. So I know this is big. I know this is huge. I know it needs to be talked about. So that's why I talked about it.
Yeah, it's good. And I think sometimes, before, it would have, I have like a before and after in my life now. I just, frankly, I do.
Yeah.
And so, thanks, man. And before, I could patch it up. So it depended on the moment that you asked me if I was actually going to be somebody who would be willing to raise my hand or not. Like, we're really good at, even in devastation in our life, patching it up to the point where we're actually like, no, I'm actually all right.
Yeah.
I'm doing okay. Like, today's a good day or whatever. Like, yeah. And if you asked me in that moment, I wouldn't have, you know, but there could have been a day or two during that week. If you had asked me then, maybe I would have raised my hand, right? Like, we're really good. And so just the humility, right, to then really just confront where are you at, really.
Yeah.
And be willing to raise your hand in any moment.
Yeah.
That is asked when you know this is happening.
Yeah.
When you know that this thing is going on. Because you probably didn't see that thing in your rearview mirror when it was right on you. You probably saw it when it was far, far away.
Yeah.
And that's the moment to be willing even then.
And, you know, I know with my struggles, I mean, I went probably 7 or 8 years with mental health-wise, I was doing well. I was doing good. I was, you know, I had come off all my meds. I was living, you know, a quote unquote normal, happy life. And, you know, something about mid 2020, you know, it's like, not that I want to sit here and say, oh, because of the pandemic, but it was something that came around the same time as the pandemic started that my mental health just tanked. You know, it was, like, there was some stuff that was, like, always kind of, not, like, right under the surface, but it's, like, I was aware of it. Mm-hmm. It's, like, oh, yeah, it's a little puddle over there, you know, but all of a sudden, it's, like, 2020 hit, and it's, like, all of a sudden, I'm in, like, almost up to my forehead in water, and it's, like,
yeah.
I didn't move, but all of a sudden, that puddle that's, like, 20, 30 feet away is now I'm under the puddle. And it was like, it felt like there was no warning, no slow progression. It was just like, it was like a light switch.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it's like, okay, I'm going, you know, I struggled with the decision of going back on meds. I struggled with the decision of talking to, you know, professionals, you know, and here I am. It's like, okay, I feel like, and that is almost a struggle because did I completely negate all of the healing from God? Did I completely negate all these, you know, 7, 8 years of quote unquote normal life? Because now I feel like I'm back at step one.
Yeah.
I mean, over the past few years, no, I didn't negate everything. You know, I didn't throw everything away. You know, it's, you know, my wife and I, like, we like to say, you know, you're not starting over from scratch. You're starting over from experience. So it's like, I might have had to go on back on meds. I might have had to go on and seek professional help, but I still build on top of all that past experience and the past, you know, knowledge and wisdom. And so it's like, okay, I just need a little help to get through this period of my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And I mean, obviously, again, we've talked about this. Like, we're not experts.
It's
just some stuff that we've experienced or noticed or gone through, and just some wisdom of the Holy Spirit at times, obviously.
Yeah.
Like, I would say that you are, like, that's more common than we probably even realize, even though we see a lot of it. But, like, 2020, what happened was isolation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, one, either people started to then have to look inward a little bit more, some introspective, right? But then, two, like, people are lifelines for each other.
Yeah.
And when you start having that isolation, maybe even some idle time, right? Like, you can start digging yourself into a hole.
Yeah.
And we're built as people, like, we're built for community.
Yeah.
You know, we're built to be around. We're built to need others to fill the gap. We're never meant to do this alone. And so I think for a lot of people, there was depression, anxiety. There was also a lot of fear. For a lot of people, you know, just all these things that could be overwhelming in and of themselves and kind of happen at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, so I'd say that you're one of the more common people in that sense, that the isolation probably really wrecked a lot of people. Or the isolation revealed, like what you mentioned, like, hey, there's this water, this little puddle thing way over there, and now, hey, all of a sudden I feel like I'm drowning.
Yeah.
Like, I think it, too, could have just revealed things that were there under the surface that us being around other people, it could kind of mask and hide a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Yeah. And so we've looked, you know, I had 7 years of marriage leading up to this point when I finally talked with Shanae about some of this stuff, right? And so Shanae is my wife, just so everybody knows. You can probably surmise, but talk to her about it. And, you know, for a while there it was like, okay, but then what, you know, she has time hop on her phone and we'd see photos from 4 years ago. And they felt a little different. Mm. They felt like they had lost something that they had had.
Yeah.
And they felt like there was just less value there. And it was almost hard to look at first. And then after a time, I kind of laid it before God, like, I mean, was it a waste? Like, that, you know, because I was living one way and now I'm living another way, like, were those 7 years? And, like, it just, I got a picture of, like, a seed in the ground that, like, it grew, but to a certain point.
Yeah.
And after, I have worked, her and I have worked, have done good things, have learned communication. Well, I mean, still, you're always learning that one. But, like, we have learned these different things in our marriage and stuff. And, like, it's now, like, prospering more and more than it was before, but because the work was, like, done. And so it's like this acceleration of growth, because during those times when it wasn't, stuff wasn't quite right and we still were doing work and good things, it's now able to produce more.
Yeah.
Like, at an accelerated rate, then you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So I think, like, even in this time or whatever, like, you're going to be experiencing some of the fruit of stuff you had worked for before, but you're also, in soon or later or whatever, you're going to experience some of that accelerated growth from the things you're working on now when it, like, when the sun shines, right?
Yeah.
In a way, like, when it really comes open, that those seeds have been planted and you're continuing to plant as you gather us guys together in here to do this. Like, that's something that you could have quit doing.
Yeah.
But you didn't quit doing, and that's work you're doing right now in the midst of whatever. And, like, but that's going to produce these things now and later. You see what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
It didn't. So ultimately, looking back at those times, we see it different. Now it still has its value. It is different, but it still has its value, and there's growth and good things in our life because of it.
Yeah.
Even from before.
It's good. I like that. Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I mean, just to reiterate, like, reach out to somebody.
Yeah.
Like, take the step.
Yeah.
Take the step we talked about earlier.
That's good.
Like, do it. Maybe it means you're following this on Instagram or whatever. At the Equip Man, is that what it is? The handle.
Yeah.
Inbox. Send an inbox to the podcast. Luke will get it, and we'll make sure you're not on your own.
Yeah. I almost said that earlier. Thank you.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of a tool that I personally kind of forget. Is there, like, you can comment.
Yeah.
You can reach out and ask questions. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, that's, I know, I feel like I never looked at the time. I felt like we went longer.
We're setting a record for the longest podcast right now.
Yeah. About that.
But
yeah.
It's important, though.
But it was really good. When you mentioned at first, like, mental health, I'm like, I might have a Levi from the first time we all got together moment where I'm just sitting here and, like, I don't really have anything to
I'm just going
to
take notes over here in the corner.
But no, yeah, I mean, it's, I can put myself in the shoes of the guy that feels alone and, like, that feels no hope.
Yeah.
Right? Mm. Even when you hear things and you see other people that are succeeding and getting freedom and, like, here's where I was at. I was super depressed, suicidal, and now I don't have those things. Like, even if there's no hope, let somebody else be that hope and have that hope for you by reaching out.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Y'all have a good week. Stay fit. Be well.